You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we are out of our little shoebox studio today. And we are at the Harare Christian... Christian Counseling Center. And we have a beautiful, a wonderful counselor here with us today who's made herself available. Say hi to everyone, Leanne.
Hi, everyone.
She's nervous, guys. Tell her. Let her know that she's going to do great.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, too, because, you know.
This topic is one that it's going to hit close to home for everyone, I think.
Because I'm not in my little studio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
His safe place.
My safe place. And, of course, the topic is quite a, yeah, it's quite a big topic. And I guess, you know, a topic that... a very sensitive topic, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So Leanne is going to be helping us dive into that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe before we actually get into it, Leanne, if you can just introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're doing here today.
Okay. So my name's Leanne Johnson. I am a counselor at the Christian Counseling Center. I have been a counselor for 11 years.
Wow.
I came to be a counselor because I came for counseling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've been on the other side of the fence. Yeah. So what do I do? I am a mom of four boys. So I'm very busy.
I can imagine.
Yes.
You must be glad homeschooling is done for now.
I'll share some of that just now with the grief. So that's what I do. And I'm also the director of counseling here at the Harare Christian Counseling Center. So, I do feel called here and I believe that we are doing God's work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. So today we're talking about grief and loss. And I think, you know, this is a topic that is very, very relevant right now because, there's just a lot happening. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of loss. There's been a lot of grief. Many people have lost loved ones, lost parents. Some people have lost their livelihoods, income. I mean, there's just been so much that is happening. And some people are still going through stuff right now. You know, some people are not feeling well. They're dealing with all kinds of things. And I think, you know, we're just at a place in our world right now where there's so much pain around us. And, you know, we often don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to process it all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we thought, you know, instead of trying to just have a conversation among ourselves, we actually thought it would be great for us to have somebody who is dealing with this sort of thing on a day-to-day basis, somebody who's trained and somebody who's a Christian as well. So I think, you know, Leanne is the right person to have for the show today. So, yeah.
So the topic of grief and loss, I think when you hear it initially, maybe if you haven't lost anyone to COVID or, well, in the past 2 years, which I think is unlikely, but maybe you haven't. Or it's not only just about losing a person. It can be you lost your job. It can be a lost opportunity. You're supposed to go to uni and now you can't. Or you're a high schooler who should have been playing first team basketball and now you've been sitting at home for a year. Like everyone, just because you haven't lost a person doesn't mean you're not dealing with some sort of loss. And the Bible does sort of give us some pointers, or it mentions verses which deal with loss. But I read, so I was reading Matthew 5, verse 4, and it said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mm. And I just thought, how are you even supposed to comfort someone else right now when you yourself are already probably dealing with your own loss and your own grief? Like, where do we even start with even comforting each other and being there for each other?
Yeah, that's such a good question because, like you said, we are also grieving. Someone said to me yesterday, we are in the same storm, but we're in different boats.
So
we're experiencing the same storm, but our boat is having different reactions to the storm, if that makes sense. So I think the first thing that we need to look at when we are helping somebody, I was going to say counseling, but helping somebody who is mourning the loss of something or someone, is to be practical. So it's you know, the big thing to do is to ask, what do you need?
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Yeah.
So be practical, help them with chores. Like the rainy season's about to start, so maybe cutting their grass.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you what they need.
Yeah.
So okay. it's asking them, you know, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do to help people who are mourning is to make yourself available. So say things like, or message, say things like, I'm here if you need me, please call, you know, open your door to them. Mm-hmm. So they know they can come to you at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing which a lot of people, I think, get a bit lost in this area is I have to say something to make them feel better.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. You know, you can say lots of things.
Yeah.
But they're still going to have to go through the grieving process, mm-hmm. whether we say great things or not, you know. So allow for silence. Mm-hmm. That is really important. Allow for space, for silence. It's okay when no one's talking.
Right.
So allow for silence. We call it holding space.
Mm-hmm.
So hold the space for them to express how they're feeling, for them to cry, for them to do what they need to do to grieve.
Mm.
So, so holding space is also something that we all find a bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you can do to help somebody who's mourning is keep tissues in your pocket, but don't hold tissues out,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes that's a sign to say, don't cry. And we want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good thing. Crying is an expression of our emotions. Which we'll talk about a little bit just now.
Yeah.
So keep a tissue at hand. And if you see them, you know, with lots of tears and they need one, and they often they'll say, oh, I need a tissue. You've got one.
Mm. Right.
So it's a good support. But allow your friends or family or whoever to grieve how they need to grieve.
Mm.
So grief is, it's a difficult subject in that everyone grieves differently.
Yes.
There's no wrong or no right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your fingerprint. It's different to everybody else's in the world, and so is your grief.
Mm.
So I don't know if you would have heard there is a grief cycle, but everyone does it in their own way.
Yeah. And some, like even different order. It's not like linear for everybody.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I'd actually love to hear the grief cycle.
I have got it. I'll get it for you.
Oh, okay.
So if you look on the net, there are so many different grief cycles, and they've just created a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like a guideline. It's not it's not exactly like I said. Everyone is different.
Yeah. Right.
So we call it the grief cycle. And we call it the erratic cycle of grief because it is erratic. It just, you know, you can shoot from one side to the next as you go through grief. So I'll just read it to you. It says, the circle never closes. The bereaved is changed forever.
Yeah.
New depth of character, compassion, support to others, or withdrawn and bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have loss. So that's the initial loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like we said, it doesn't have to be death
of
someone. It can be the loss, like my son, he made first team rugby and it was so exciting and his name was the first one called out in assembly and all the recognition and everything.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later we went into lockdown.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's the worst.
Yeah, and it was his last year of school.
That's the worst.
And so that's such a big deal for them.
Yeah.
So it's
a
big deal.
Yeah. Big loss,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
So anyway, so you have the loss and then normally it's shock and denial. So you go into shock. This is not real, or you numb, like some people say they're numb.
Mm.
And then anger can come into it. Then there's bargaining. You know, Lord, if I do this, please can you make them better?
Mm.
Lord, if I do that, please can you stop the lockdown? So there's bargaining that goes with it. And then there's despair and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with grief. And fear comes with grief. In fact, a lot of fear is grieving.
Mm.
So fear comes in, especially with COVID, what we're dealing with at the moment, so much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So, fear comes into it. So we have despair and depression. And then we have adjustment and acceptance. So, and that's when you come out and like it says at the top here, your life has changed forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Mm. So
I like that you said that your life has changed forever because that's often something that we don't really actively think about to say that when you've had some, of course it's different for different people also depending on the situation, but there are some losses where it's going to alter your life forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that also then informs the way that we bring comfort and the way that we try to help people, because we've got to have that at the back of our minds that, you know, this is never going to be the same. If somebody loses their parent, that's that. It's done. And that their life is never going to be the same.
Yeah.
Then you raised a very interesting topic there, which is one of emotion or expressing yes. emotion, right? I think that is a very, because, you know, as a guy, and I'm saying this as a guy, that
yes.
I've just found this to be a very, it's just one of those tricky topics often. I was having a conversation with some guys earlier today, actually, where we were just talking about why men struggle to express emotion.
Yes.
Even in church and stuff. Why is it that, you know, you can have a church service and there's like some really deep worship and you can have all the ladies there crying and then the guys are just trying to look cool. And I think it's a thing where, I don't know if it's that as men, we are not taught how to express our emotions. I don't know if it's a thing of our biology, maybe. I don't know, man. It's just, it's one of those things where I've had to actually ask myself that, why do I struggle to express my emotions sometimes? Why is it such hard work? So I'm sure that, you know, this is something that you do. And of course, you know, you might help us with that.
Expressing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is a huge, huge, important topic with grief. So I'm going to just go straight into your question, although there's so much to talk about. Mm. So why is it hard to express emotion? So the thing with emotions, it's like our intelligence. You know, we have the IQ.
Yeah.
We also have the EQ. And a lot of us are trained that we don't actually know our emotions. We don't know how to name them. We don't know what to do with them. We don't even know we have them sometimes.
Yeah.
So this is this is part of what we do here, is help you to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So an emotion that's buried, so if we suppress our emotions, we bury it alive and it lives and grows and festers, and then it comes out in bad ways. So bad health, you sick, mm-hmm. headaches, tension, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Digestive problems. There's lots of things, outbursts, because you're carrying too much emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your question was, why do you struggle to express the emotions, or men particularly? And I think that you can get taught that you should not show emotions, especially cowboys don't cry, be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You're expected to, you know, there's expectations in the world and society. So there's that. And also, we don't get taught how to express our emotions. So
right.
We get told that, you know, we're weak if we show emotion, which is not true, because Jesus himself was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
He showed lots of emotion.
Yeah.
He was troubled, he was anguished, and he felt deep emotion.
Mm.
So, yeah. So I think it's, we get taught, and there's expectations from us that, and then of course we just don't know what we're feeling.
No.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's, I'd never actually thought of that, like not being able to even describe how you're feeling, let alone express it.
Yeah.
Is it helpful to be able to put a name to an emotion?
Yeah. So what we do is we have four groups of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and each emotion is related to a certain goal that we have.
Yeah.
So like anger is related to a blocked goal. So if you're going through the grief cycle, or if you're grieving like we all are,
yeah.
You would know that you would have experienced some anger at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've experienced anger during this COVID, especially during the lockdown. Mm-hmm. I'll explain to you just now what happened. And I got angry. I was mad. And shame. My poor grade 7 son was, we were in lockdown, and he was having online school.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know what to do with the questions. I mean, the teacher was brilliant. She was trying her hardest.
Yeah.
My son was trying his hardest. And I was just so frustrated. So I had the choice to either shout at my child,
mm.
or there was a set of drums nearby,
mm.
and I just clanged on these drums.
Oh my word. Bah, 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 bah.
That's a good expression. And so I had the choice. I could have shouted at my son, which would have been destructive. It would have hurt him. And that's not loving. We call to love one another. So that's not loving. And it wasn't his fault. Or I could have hit the drums. And so I really had a second of, what can I do? Yeah. And then I hit the drums. And yeah, so that is one emotion, anger.
Thank God for the drums. Huh?
Exactly. And they were in the right place at the right time. And if you ever want to do that and you don't have drums, get some pots out your kitchen and your wooden spoons. It's a good thing.
I think I'm going to try this.
So your question was about emotions. So yes, naming an emotion is very, very important. We have lists here at the Counseling Center of different emotions. And to name what is a great tool to get rid of an emotion or to express an emotion is to write it down. So the formula is, I feel, then you name the emotion. So I feel mad because we have got online schooling and it's not working. So it's good to name the emotion, and it helps to express it, and then you feel better and you cope better with life. So emotions are like a wooden door. They're not right or wrong. They're just there, and it depends what you do with them that makes them right or wrong. So you can slam the door or you can close the door gently.
One of the things that I've seen where Christians are concerned is that, you know, we often tend to over spiritualize stuff, right? I guess also depending on the kind of church that you go to, but there's this tendency for us to feel like, you know, don't be too emotional, you know, commit things to God, pray, God will take care of things, where there's almost this sense that when, you know, if I over emote, I am lacking in faith somewhat. I think there's often that feeling. So I'm just wondering where does it, or rather, where's that balance to say, I'm a Christian, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, but I am also emotional. Okay, maybe the best way to ask this is, are emotions spiritual? Like, is it proper Christian spiritual behavior to have emotions?
So my answer to you is, yes, it is.
Guys, I know this because I know my people. Yes.
Okay. So there's two parts to that question, which we look at here at the Counseling Center, talking about emotions and being over emotional. So there's four different ways of how you can handle an emotion. You can suppress it, which is bottling up. You can repress it, which is banishing it from your mind, but it comes out later, or it can overwhelm you. And then, of course, the last one is expressing, which is helpful and scriptural and what God wants you to do. Okay, so I would imagine you're talking about the overwhelming, where the emotion just takes control. Okay, so that's not scriptural. So what we want is God to be the head of you and not your emotions. But acknowledge your emotions and express them and use them according to what God has given them to you for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say that Jesus showed, like I said just now, he showed many, many emotions, and he was a very emotional man, but he was always in control. He was always in control of his emotions, and he expressed them well. He showed anger. He showed compassion. He showed frustration. He showed longing. He showed rejection. He showed sadness and anguish and sorrow, and that's just a few. And yeah, he was an emotional man.
Yeah, I remember. I do. Like, when I read my Bible sometimes, I'm like, God, these disciples. Like, sometimes you can just tell Jesus was so frustrated with them. Like, guys, you still don't get it.
Come on. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So in terms of, like, right now with COVID, that verse I read earlier about blessed are those who mourn, how can you view mourning as a blessing? Because I think that's really, like, challenging, because you get to a space sometimes where you just want to feel sorry for yourself, or you just, you don't have the tools or the know-how of how to
to see the, to count it all joy, or to just see the brighter side of what you're going through.
Yeah.
Yet the Bible is saying, blessed are those who mourn. And you're like, I'm not feeling particularly blessed. I'm feeling very much the opposite. So how can we like turn that around in our thinking or our approach to the grief that we're going through?
Okay. So I think that's also a really good question. I think when we have loss or when we're mourning a loss, it teaches us to come closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
So it teaches us to be dependent on Him. So our relationship with Him deepens. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a blessing.
Yeah.
The other thing that about loss and grief is that when we grieve in Christ, we have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people who have died in Christ, we will see again.
Yeah.
And so there is this eternal hope and this hope for eternal life, which is a blessing.
Mm.
I think also learning through pain, we see that God is faithful and we see that He is caring. So it grows us as a Christian.
Yeah.
So I think that is a blessing. There's other things, but I think that is one of the main things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do turn to God in your mourning.
Yeah.
Because then if you find other coping mechanisms, then it doesn't quite have the same effect on your relationship with
exactly.
God. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is actually something that I wanted to ask concerning coping mechanisms. That in your experience, what have been some of the coping mechanisms that people use to deal with grief and mourning? And then a follow-up to that would be, what are some healthy coping mechanisms versus the
unhealthy?
The unhealthy.
Okay. So the first things that I have experienced in my own life is control. So I was struggling with panic disorder when I came in.
Yeah.
And that has got a lot to do with control. So that is something that I went to because I had had lots of losses. Right. And I was going to control. I was trying to control everything, control all my children, control. And you can't.
Yeah.
And what happens in the end is I ended up being worse because I ended up panicking and having horrible panic attacks.
Right.
So control, obviously alcoholism, you know, let's drink a beer or vodka, whatever it is, and that just numbs that pain.
Mm.
So then what happens? Well, we all know what happens. You get sicker and sicker and then you become dependent on it.
Yeah.
Right.
So drugs, alcohol are things that people use, coping mechanisms, controlling, other coping mechanisms, busyness.
I think that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Keeping yourself too busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people acceptance. Trying to please people is a coping mechanism. I need to feel loved. I need to feel accepted. That kind of thing, yeah. I'm just thinking of, like you mentioned, about the person in their last year of school or whatever, and they make a team or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they could then turn to coping mechanisms of people-pleasing. Oh, I'm good enough, you know, because right. I got made the team, I lost that, so where else can I get that?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's lots and lots, but people-pleasing is a very big one, and it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continually trying to people-please, and then the drugs and the alcohol is big.
Yeah.
And it's very readily available, so very scary.
Would withdrawal be a coping mechanism?
Yep, withdrawal is. So if you're finding that that's more like for rejection, so I will withdraw, so there's no chance of me being rejected. So if I stay at home, I don't need to go out, I don't need to see anyone, then I can never be rejected.
Mm.
So it is also a coping mechanism that people
Or if
can
it's
use.
Like let's say you lost an opportunity and you just don't want to see people because you're like, everyone's like, but aren't you supposed to be in the UK? Weren't you supposed to leave? And you're just tired of explaining it so many times. Like, no, as you can see, there's a lockdown, so I'm here. And like, you don't want to just keep telling the same story over and over. Like,
I got bounced.
Yeah, like, no visa, man. The offices are closed. Like, yes, I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not clearly.
And I feel like there's even another one that I think is a big one, is the whole, I know it's big in our culture.
Yeah.
It's the whole getting married thing, right?
Yeah.
Where,
is it coping mechanism?
No. I'm talking about. A source of problems is where. No, man, come on.
Okay, I'll let you finish your sentence.
Where, sometimes you get those relatives or just people who are constantly asking, okay, so when are you getting married? Listen, I've had people who've said to me, I don't come to church. They don't want to come to church anymore because they're constantly being asked by, you know, by people, mm-hmm. individuals, you know yourselves, you know, what's going on? You know, when is it going to happen? I'm just saying, so this is something that might not be in someone's control per se.
Sure.
And I feel like, dare I say this, that especially with ladies, sometimes it's a big one. Mm. And then I think that can even add to other anxieties and other pressures that people have. And stuff. I don't know why I said that, but I just feel like it's something that
well, I think happens. You mentioning that made me think of another thing that a lot of people have lost, which is our sense of community, because mm-hmm. we couldn't really gather together. We couldn't attend church physically mm-hmm. for a long time. So when you don't have that, you know, the ability to just see people and just have casual conversation, sometimes it can affect people yeah. differently. And for that girl who's wanting to get married, she's thinking, oh, my chances of finding someone yeah. have like been drastically cut.
Yeah.
I can't go anywhere. I can't make myself, you know, be found. So she might actually be feeling legit anxiety. Like, when am I going to get married? This lockdown needs to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, online dating.
Well, yeah, we had an episode on that. If you want to go listen to that episode about looking for love online.
Anyway, I want us to... You mentioned something about your son.
Yes.
And how he had this opportunity, how he had made the first team, and then this whole lockdown thing happened.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, how did you deal with that, and how did you manage to help him through that?
Mm. Okay, so, yeah. Well, I'll tag it onto your other question, which was, what are the healthy ways yes. to oh, handle yeah. these yeah. things? Yeah. Okay, so, well, I'll just share with you from my own experience first, and then...
Sure.
So, at first, believe it or not, being a counselor, I didn't realize we were in grief. Mm-hmm. I was, like you said, trying to cope with my own at mm-hmm. the same time. So, yeah, it was like, oh, hello, we're in grief now, we're mm. grieving, you know, mm. life has changed and we've lost lots of things. So with my son, I would ask him quite often, how are you feeling, what's happening, and reflect back. Yeah. So if you're needing to help somebody who is mourning or grieving, you listen, so important, and then reflect back what they've said to you. So say it in other words or whatever, so mm-hmm. they feel heard. It's really mm-hmm. important. Then he himself... like I said earlier, you have a choice. You can either be destructive choices or constructive, yeah. godly or mm-hmm. ungodly.
Yeah.
So he made the choice to keep training at home. Mm-hmm. And then he took all the little children at home and trained them as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a little, yeah, we've got quite a few children on our home there. So, yeah, they had great fun. Even though he was still grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never got to play a game and it was all over. Oh, and they were never, ever going to play a game.
Yeah.
And it's sad. You know, feel the sad.
It is.
It's okay to feel the sad.
Yeah.
And then he had a choice at the end of the year to either go on a houseboat where there was lots of drinking and whatever going on for A-level break,
mm-hmm.
or to join the Red Frogs. I don't know if you know what
Red Frogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And someone, anyway, he chose to join the Red Frogs. I was very surprised because he's a very shy, quiet mm-hmm. child. And he... someone said, why did he join Red Frogs? I was like, I don't know. You know, being such a good mom, I don't know. And I said to him, you know, why? And he said, because if I went the other way, I would have hurt myself. That's what he said. He said it would have been wrong and I would have hurt myself. So I chose to go this way.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, he actually chose the route that he was going to take, how to grieve and what to do with the emotions that he had.
Mm.
So that's how that happened.
Right.
Then you asked about how do you deal with it healthily?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways of dealing with your emotions. So there's art, which is brilliant. A lot of people, you'll be amazed how you can draw how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
there's lots of people who've described grief. There's one where she said that she felt like she was in a dark room. There was no door, mm-hmm. no windows. It was just a closed, dark, cold room. Mm-hmm. And that's good. She was expressing how she felt.
Yeah.
Another person said the water, it was like a waterfall that just kept falling and falling and then landed in a whirlpool and just went round and round and round and round. Yeah. So, if you know, that's a good way. Express how you feel. So talk to someone. Really, really important. acknowledge. Very important. I am grieving. This is where I'm at. And everyone's at different stages, you know. And it's okay. It's okay to grieve. So acknowledge, talk to somebody, write a journal if you need to, do the artwork if you're arty. Music, drums, like I said, great. Dancing to music, really good expression. Stand on the edge of your veranda, scream as loud as you can. It's not sinful, it's not hurting anyone, and it's just expressing what's inside. So, yeah, those are some healthy ways. Exercise is good as well to express an emotion.
So if you're with someone, well, I think we've acknowledged that everyone is going through some kind of loss. But if you're with someone who's still stuck in that depression and despair phase, how can you, like, what can you do to help them out of it? Or do you just have to, like, ride it out for as long as it lasts?
So grief is like, it's like crossing a river. So you want to get to the other side of the river, but you have to go through the river to get there. So your friend would have to need to get into the river. So that's acknowledging I'm in the river. And then they'll get to the deep part where it's depression and despair. And this is where there's friends that can hold on to. So like I said earlier, make yourself available. No judgment, no criticism, no demanding. You need to be out of this. Unless we feel that there's a disorder or it's suicidal, then let's you know, get professional. But making yourself available. And then also there's tools, like a boat, let's say, to cross the river, or a floaty. What do you call those things?
Those life-saving.
Yeah, I know the one. Or a life jacket or something. So you still got across the river. You still got to feel those emotions and express them and get them out, otherwise they're going to be in you forever. So he's still got to get across the river, but there are tools and things that he can use to help him swim across, and we are there to support. Support networks, great. Support groups, great. We used to have a grief group here. We called it Grief Recovery, and a lot of people who come find it very helpful because they realize they're not alone. And that's huge, huge confidence booster and help as well. And then, like we spoke about earlier, you know, being practical and just being present. Very important. Just being there.
Yeah. So do you find that when someone has lost, now say we're now talking about having lost a person, is it advisable to bring it up, or you should just wait for that person who's grieving to talk to you about it?
I think if that was me, I think let the person lead the way. That's how I would handle it. So if somebody came into the counseling center and they came here for grief, I would talk about the person and I would use the name. It's real. It's happened. We can't pretend it hasn't happened. They were real. They were part of their life. And yes, I would use the name and I would talk about them. If you're going to skirt around the issue and deny it, it just makes it worse and it doesn't help the person face reality and deal with what they're dealing with. So, yeah, I definitely use the name. But also, like I say, if it's a friend, so it's different to counseling, if it's a friend, you can let them lead the way as well.
Because I think that's one thing people struggle with, especially when it's a loss of someone in their life. You're like, should I just talk to them about other stuff so that their mind is off their loss, or should I actually ask them, how are you doing, like, how is it at home now, like, that person's room is empty, how does that make you feel? Like, you just don't know, like, should I ask or should I just leave it until they want to say something?
I think we are afraid of what will happen if we, you know, bring up their name, or we're scared maybe we're going to hurt them, but the actual fact is they're hurting. So I think just, you know, act normally. Like if you have a dream about them, oh, I had a dream about so-and-so, and this is what they were doing. But good, ask them, how are you doing? What can I do for you? What can I do to help you? And
And then another thing I wanted to say is that if you're the one in the position where you are, you've got a friend or somebody that you know who's going through grief, sometimes you want to help. So I've seen people do this. Somebody will say, hey, like I remember when I lost my dad back in 2016, I had some people who would say things like, hey, if you need anything, let me know, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, that was so weird because I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. If I need anything,
please bring me some chicken slice.
You know, I just need some pizza. So maybe what's a good way of letting somebody know that you are there for them,
mm-hmm.
but without putting it across in a way that kind of leaves them unable to really,
like, you've given them more use work that,
yeah,
you've making exactly. it so open-ended.
It's way too open-ended, and you know, you don't want to ask somebody for money,
yeah.
because that's kind of strange as well, especially if it's somebody who's, if it's not like a close friend. So I'm just saying, what's a good way to let somebody know that you're available and mm-hmm. that you're there to help them, but without necessarily saying it that way.
Yeah. I think you need to know your own boundaries. What can you help with and what can't you? Because you don't want to offer help that you can't give.
Right.
And like if someone wanted money but you don't have any, you can't give it. But maybe I can come and see you tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock and do your washing or bring a meal or buy your groceries for you. Or go to the chemist and get medicine for you or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you know what you can offer and what you can't. So yeah, it's a very good question. Mm-hmm. And know where you are coming from, because then it'll put pressure on both sides.
Yeah.
So be specific. I can come tomorrow afternoon. Would you like me to visit?
That's good. Yeah.
I can get your groceries for you. What would you like? Do you want me to do it? They might not want you to do it.
Mm.
So we don't want to be pushy, but we also want them to know, this is what I can do for you, would you like it or not?
Yeah,
I think that could help.
Yeah, that would be,
yeah, that's good. Helpful. Then another thing I wanted to ask is, you can have instances where somebody, you can actually see that someone is really sort of getting into a depression sort of state where they're not really talking, they're very withdrawn. How do you help someone like that? I don't know if that falls under the umbrella of things that you deal with, but I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just wondering that I've also had instances like that where I can see that it's a friend or somebody that I know, and they're not themselves,
yeah.
and they've gone through something, but they've become very withdrawn. They don't want to talk. They just want to be by themselves. But you're also equally concerned
mm.
that if they remain in that state, mm. something, you know, something worse could happen. Mm. How best do you help someone like that?
Okay. So helping somebody who's stuck, like, in depression mm. and you think it's getting worse?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're not coming forward. They're not talking. They're not answering yeah. your questions, whatever. I think if you come to them from your side, so, you know, you always start the sentence with, I am concerned. I feel worried mm-hmm. that, you know, you're not coping.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this? There's always getting hold of professional helpers. So coming here to the counseling center,
yeah.
We often will have people who come in and say, my sister's not coping with life. She's depressed or she's suicidal or whatever it is. And then we can, you know, try and we call it hooking them in to right. counseling. And once you've hooked somebody in, then you know, you can start on the journey of healing. So it is a matter of where would you like to get to? You know, are you okay where you're at?
Mm.
How are you today? And
yeah.
and listening extremely carefully, because they might say, oh, I'm fine. And what is that telling you?
Not
you know,
fine.
They're saying I'm fine, but they're not.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
hear it, yeah. So tone of voice, very important. If you listen to their tone of voice, then you can comment on that and say, oh, so you said you're fine. It sounds like in your voice that you're tired. And then that, you know, it's starting to draw things out step by step by step. So little bits.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have like some maybe things that you shouldn't say to someone, like how he mentioned the just open blank check of anything you need, I can do. I know it's probably not good to play down someone's grief. Like if you just said to your son, "Oh, well, it's just rugby. I mean, really,
yeah.
You can find another sport." Like I don't know what you could have said, but I think he just look at you like it's not just rugby.
Yeah.
So are there things that you just should shy away from saying to people who are grieving or going through the loss of something?
I think there is. I think that we need to be truthful and honest. They're in a lot of pain. Mm. And we can't say, oh, everything's going to be all right. Yeah. You know, at that moment, they don't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can't say things that are not true
yeah.
at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, God is with them and he will walk with them through right. the grief, right? So they will come out of it and their life would have changed forever and they'll be on a different path.
Mm.
And they will be okay. But at that moment, I don't think they feel that.
Yeah.
So I think it's coming alongside where they are actually at and accepting that, mm. where they're at, and then walking alongside them. So basically you walk the journey with them.
Yeah.
So silence is good. Yeah. Hugs are good. Yeah. I know it's COVID times.
Yeah.
So but like yeah, be comfortable with silence.
Yeah.
It's good. It's yeah. just you'd your presence.
Say nothing than say something that'll make things worse.
Exactly, yeah. And then it's uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as Christians, you like that whole thing of wanting to put a positive spin, I think we say a lot of things that the person afterwards would just be like, did that person really think saying that to me was helpful?
Yeah.
Like when you say things like, oh, you know,
yeah.
let's say they lost their mom and you're just like, you know, it's just the Lord's will. And like, yeah, on some level, yeah, you know, it's yeah. the Lord's will, but you're like, well, I don't really want to hear that.
Yeah. yeah.
Or the Lord has given, he's taken yeah. away. It's all these Christianese things that we say to each other. And you're like, no, don't say that yeah, right now. Yeah. Not right now.
It's painful. And often, yeah. you know, people are cross with God.
Yeah.
Because somebody they love has died.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, God loves you and he wants to know how you're feeling.
Mm.
So, yeah, they might be nervous to say, I'm cross with God.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
So at least they still believe in God mm-hmm, and they still, mm-hmm. exactly. you know, yeah.
And I think refraining from preaching as well, because we tend to get preachy sometimes.
Where it's because we don't know what to say.
Yeah. Where you just feel like you have to say something, you have to quote a scripture.
Mm.
And I love what Leanne is saying, because we don't always have to have a scripture handy, you know. Sometimes it's just those small things
yeah.
that communicate the love of God, but, you know, but not necessarily like scripture bashing or something.
Yeah.
So something that I've been thinking about is that Zimbabwe generally is, you know, we're a very interesting society. And I'll speak as a black Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
You know, that we have our own ways of dealing with things, especially in the Shona culture and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably different from your culture yeah. in some ways.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, you know, if we're coming from cultures where, you know, often grief is not really expressed, or where in some instances grief, you know, grieving is viewed as a sign of weakness or something like that, how can we as Christians, number one,
mm-hmm.
grieve properly?
Mm-hmm.
and secondly, how can we really, especially church folk,
yeah.
you know, how can we make church a place where people can really grieve in a community that is loving God, that is loving, but that also understands the realities that people are dealing with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first question was, how can we grieve properly?
Yeah.
Okay, as Christians, when you say like you're speaking from your culture, you know, you're not allowed to show emotion, or it's not considered good, I suppose, to show emotion. Okay, so I think the best thing we can do is look at Jesus and how he expressed himself and how he grieved and how he showed his emotion and how he, you know, what he did and what he said. And yeah, so following Jesus's example.
Right.
And he expressed, he showed, he spoke, he prayed, he, you know, he was relational, very. So I think it's following his example, expressing what's inside.
Yeah.
I think we have to put him above culture, which is hard because culture's like ingrained in us, you know. But I think we have to say, well, this is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus said. This is how he, what he did with his emotions.
That's good.
So I think, yeah, I think it's following what Jesus did above your culture, if I'm allowed to say that. And then your second question was...
My second question was, how do we...
Churches.
Yeah, in church.
In church. So I think as Christians, we need to accept people for who they are. So that's exactly what Jesus does. You know, come to me. He doesn't say, come to me only if you're clean and no sin. He says, come, sin and all. Come to me. Come to me if your hair's messy and you didn't feel like waking up this morning. Come or getting out of bed. Come to me if your house is a mess and you, you know, I don't know, didn't go to work yesterday because you were depressed. Or come to me because you broke your cell phone and threw it on the floor because you were angry. Come to me. Let's talk about it. Let's work through this. So I think the church has to be like God with wide open arms and saying, we accept you. We love you. Let's work through this together. That's where I think the church can help. Is accepting you for where you're at. And then, of course, there's lots of teaching that needs to come with that. Listening, understanding, taking time, letting the person, giving them, you know, allowing them to express themselves, allowing them to say what's inside. Because grief is what is inside trying to make sense of what's outside. So, yeah, I think the church is a huge... a place where it can be a safe place for people to be real.
That's good.
I think anyone listening to this will probably leave at least with one or two things that they can go and practically apply to their lives, whether they're the ones grieving or they know someone who's grieving. But just in closing, would you be able to give us the details, or should we get that afterwards, of where people can come to you if they want counseling?
So,
Or how they find you? Is it online? Do they have to call? Is there a number?
Okay, so how it works? Yes, we've got cell phone numbers, which I don't know off my heart.
Okay, you can always plug it in.
So what happens is you will phone in, and you'll speak to the lady who works at the front desk, who's Abby, and then you'll come in and we'll fill out some, you fill out some forms, because what we like to do is make sure we get the right counselor to the right issue. So if you're going to come in for grief, we want to get somebody who's experienced with grief. If you come in for marriage issues, we want to get someone who counsels with marriage. So that kind of thing. We have child and teen counselors as well. So, and grief in children is different, by the way. So anyway, that's another whole topic. And yeah, and so you phone, you come in, fill out the forms, then we'll find a counselor who will suit your times and suit their times, and then you start with them, and you start your journey of healing with them. And that's how we do it here.
Okay, cool. Is it, can, does it have to be done physically, or can people fill it in, like email it to you guys?
Good question. So yeah, we can email it to you. We also offer online counseling. So yeah, we do WhatsApp video or whatever works for the counselor and the counselee. We do online counseling as well.
Okay, cool. So everyone listening, we'll have all those details up on the website and probably on our Facebook page. If you do find that you need extra help or you're stuck somewhere in that grief cycle that we talked about, definitely don't just try and thug it out by yourself.
Exactly.
Like Leanne said earlier, asking for help is a sign of strength.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I love this. I love the fact that, you know, this is a topic that, you know, people often, I mean, this is something that everybody, almost everywhere right now, is going through in some way, shape, or form. And let's not be afraid to ask for help. Let's not suffer alone. And equally, if we don't know how to help those that are going through stuff, let's not try to be ninjas. Because the real ninjas are here. No, but yeah, so thank you so much, Leanne. And to our listeners, I really hope, you know, this has been a helpful episode, because I know that people are going through so much mm-hmm. right now. People are going through so much, but God loves us. God has given us the tools. And I believe that there is a way to help each other as we deal with all these things. So, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
And with that, we say peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.